Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The boys are back in town. Our original thinking was right. It's a crowded marketplace, okay. And we were stepping aside to leave others a little bit of room to manoeuvre.
Yes.
And then a trickle became a torrent. And they weren't requests, they were more demands. So what can you do other than acquiesce to the public demand?
The boys are back in town then.
Yeah.
Excellent. I met him in Los Angeles 1 year.
Did you? It's funny you should mention him, because when I looked at your... You posted our new artwork on Instagram.
Did I?
I was a little bit miffed.
At who?
Tad unkind at one of the comments. Mr. Keys is nothing like Thin Lizzy then.
I know who said that. Mugsy.
Did he?
It was Mugsy.
Was it really?
It was Mugsy. Every time he said that to me, but she's like, see, Keys, he's no Thin Lizzy. Cheeky bugger.
Yeah, that's a bit naughty to me.
It is a bit naughty. Well, you know who it was, you can get him back. Mm. But I met him, years and years ago. Nice lad.
Yes, his music didn't then appeal to me. I think I was a different animal in those days. Yeah, very much so does now. So what have you been up to?
In the summer?
Yeah.
Well, I did a good summer. I went to Las Vegas to do a thing for
the Rangers
North
boys.
Atlantic Rangers Supporters Association. It was fabulous. Nearly 3,000 fans from all over the world. And I mean all over the world.
I was travelling at the same time, funnily enough. And I was at Heathrow, surrounded by Rangers fans. And I'm thinking to myself,
I bet they were going.
Where are they all going? They were all going.
Las Vegas. Came from everywhere.
Yeah.
I was astounded. Where are you from? Dundee. I said, what? And you've come all... Yeah. Canada. South Africa. You name it.
How can you be from Dundee and be a Rangers fan? Well, surely you're a Dundee United fan or a Dundee fan.
No.
Come on.
We carry some weight.
No.
Don't worry about that.
You would not subscribe to that view. You support your local football team.
No.
First.
You support Rangers. And then if you don't support Rangers, then you can support your local football team.
Or, let me put that another way to you, you support Rangers, and if you don't support Rangers, you support Celtic.
Yeah, well, you're one or the other.
Yeah.
Depends on your denomination. Most of the time.
Well, our guest today, and we will speak shortly, is going to be a man in demand.
You're convinced of that, aren't you?
Oh, totally.
Aye.
Totally. How soon, I don't know. It could be a matter of days, in Villa's case.
Could be a matter, I know what you're going to say, it could be a matter of weeks in Everton's case.
It could be
a matter of months in Wolves' case. So my three teams are right in trouble.
Yes, they all three are right now, yeah. Three very good clubs. I'm very much looking forward to spending time with him. We shall speak later. Premier League clubs et up Europe as the window, quotes, slammed shut. It always slams shut if you're watching Sky Sports News.
It doesn't gently close, does it?
It doesn't close as it does in most other places. Yeah. It slams shut with dramatic effect. I thought, and we've sat here and discussed it,
John.
I thought the bubble had burst.
Money-wise.
Post-COVID.
Yeah, me too. I have to be honest.
I thought that's the end of it.
Yeah, sensibility now.
2 billion.
That must be the most, then. That must be a record.
It's a record.
Must be.
It's a record.
I don't remember it being 2 billion over the
summer. It's extraordinary. The net spend, just over more than a billion, that too eclipses the previous mark in 2017 when Premier League clubs spent 1.41 billion gross. I mean, it's just extraordinary.
That is extraordinary.
The one I worry, I don't worry. I always pull you up when you say that because you don't genuinely worry. Well, it's a turn of phrase.
Yeah, I'm a phrase.
Yeah. Forest.
Yes, 100% agree with you.
They will be in League One in 18 months coming out of administration.
Unless...
Now, the timeline might not be that dramatic, but it is only heading one way.
Unless, what if all the contracts are geared to relegation?
But you can't absorb 21 now.
No.
You can't absorb that amount of change, in my view.
No, you can't.
And expect to have any kind of success. Success for them this year will be to stay up.
Yes.
And I know Forest fans after the start got a little carried away and we exchanged a few thoughts on that matter.
Yeah. How's your popularity in the summer? How's it been?
Very good.
Good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Apart from Arsenal fans. Right. Well.
Me and the Geordies are friends.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, listen, we have, it's a popular misconception that you in particular were vocal about it, but we're never fans of the likes of Benitez and that when he was there, and I think it proved when he went to my club at Everton that just what a...
duh individual he is, and his teams reflect that. There you go, I got you out of trouble there, didn't I?
No, we were that. I was searching for the words, but you're the journalist, and I knew you'd find them. We were always massive fans of Newcastle. We loved going up there and still do.
My view is the debate about ownership is over.
Yes. Go on.
I am very pleased and very impressed, I have to say, with the way they've gone about the build. I think Eddie Howe has grown into the job and looks as though he's been there a decade.
Yeah.
I like what they've done. I like the fact he had the courage to play Isak at Anfield and he was well rewarded for doing so. Could and should have been better rewarded.
Absolutely.
Second one's got to stand.
Got to.
So I don't have a problem at all.
No.
I think, if I mention this, you're going to frown, but...
Am I?
If we get too moral and trace back a thought process on many different subjects, let's just take Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
The West buys fuel.
Yeah, everything.
Sells arms.
Yes.
They've recently hosted Joshua Isak.
Grand Prix.
That I don't get the live golf problems. I really don't. I think it's shaken golf up, which is no bad thing. It's an alternative to a monopoly. You see, I told you you'd frown.
No, but only because I know you're not.
What is the issue here?
You're also very anti sports washing.
Yes, but.
And don't you feel that that's what's being done?
Yes, but it is in so many other areas as well. So I don't think we can just take golf out of a group of sports and say, well, that's wrong when everything else goes. That's my only issue.
So, are you saying then that live golf, right? Let me give you an analogy then, see if I'm way off the mark with what you're trying to say.
Mm.
Are you saying that live golf then is a bit like the Premier League 30 years ago when it came up and shook the first division?
A little, I do, yes. And I don't understand the Ollie Holt in the Mail last week was talking about outrageous that the fight should have been
Joshua's legacy
placed in Riyadh. Yes. Why? Ollie, if you have a genuine moral problem,
don't go.
Don't go. And of course, I know what the counter argument. Well, we like war correspondents. We don't all believe in wars that we have to go and cover. But nevertheless, we've got to be there. No, not really. It's not the same. There's the first thing. Don't go. And if the newspaper has an editorial line along those lines, don't cover it.
Yep.
But they won't. They get more mileage from going and complaining about it than actually going and enjoying it.
Yeah.
So that's my only issue with Live Golf. I don't. You know, look, good luck to the lads.
Well,
I am with Newcastle. Yeah. As I say, I repeat, pardon me, debate over.
Yes.
Get on with it.
I mean, I'm just quickly on the live golf. I'm not a big fan of live golf, and I won't be. And I think first and foremost as well.
Why?
Because I don't really know why.
That's the problem.
But no, one of the reasons I'm not is you can't take a sport like that and say, okay, we're not going to play 72 holes every week. We're only going to play 54, but we still want the same points as you. Well, because it's not the same game.
No, it's not the same game. But golf needed that. In my view, golf needed that.
No, it's a bit
like white ball, red ball, the 100. 2020.
Oh, no.
Cricket
no.
evolved from a very dull product into for a new generation, real excitement.
The only thing you need to do with golf is rein in technology.
Well, technology and all this.
You can't see a guy.
I put them on a clock.
You're only playing 54 holes of golf, right? But you'll still be eligible to win that $18 million at the end of the day in the FedEx.
No, they can get it.
You can go, and you're only playing 54 holes, so you'll get somebody's place who plays every week 72 holes, and you can go and be playing the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup. And all. No, I'm sorry. No.
Yeah, but in order for that,
if you want to take the live money, then go. And enjoy it and stay there. And leave the rest alone.
You can still come back and play in the majors.
No, you can't.
You can't come on our tour.
You won't next year.
But I don't know. I'm not. you see, you get angry about it. But I'm saying you should. The two formulas should be able to work alongside each other, a bit like, to use your analogy, the Premier League and EFL clubs. It's, I don't like it.
I don't like it.
It's there we are.
I don't like it.
That's it.
And you know they're always going to get battered, the boys, and the questions that are always going to be asked about Saudi every time they step up your press conference.
Well, but shouldn't that be the case with everything else?
Yes.
But it's not, is it?
No.
Anyway, Josh Bowler, 20th signing. There's now been 21. Josh Bowler immediately lent to Olympiacos. So this is what I mean, and when this when the inevitable happens, somebody will be leaping up and down as they were at Derby when Mel Steen gave up and be saying, "Well, you know, we need to police the ownership of football clubs a little bit better than we have done." Well, now's your time.
Yeah,
now's your time.
21 players. Wow, good luck.
55 players have been used since the start of last season at Forest. 55.
That's
it's just ridiculous. You can't get success in that way.
No, you can't. You might survive, I'll give them that, and that would be regarded as success, but it's more likely to go the other way. And a bit like Fulham, they didn't go as bad. They bought 10, I think, and it never worked for them.
Spurs bought 8 when they sold Gareth Bale. The only one I can remember is Ericsson, which was a good piece of business.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, they just went scattergun, didn't they? And it's a bit like that. Listen, the one thing I would credit Forrest for, and I don't know if the coach is behind it all, and he said, right, this is what I want. But they're having a go.
How can you?
We battered Norwich last year or the year before.
We did.
They didn't spend a penny.
Yeah, but this is other end of the scale now.
Saying, there's a halfway house somewhere in between.
You can't do due diligence on them all. A number of different subjects, as you know. I've got. I'm flicking through the iPad. I've saved all these, thinking that we might be sitting down opposite each other again soon. Ball in play, 58 minutes 42 seconds. Liverpool, Newcastle United. That's the ninth best return from 50 Premier League games played this year.
They were wasting time.
Absolute nonsense, isn't it?
Newcastle were wasting time all game. How could they play nearly an hour?
I know you speak with some irony.
Yeah, I do.
But I think we need an independent timekeeper.
Agreed.
And I think we all have to agree now that the ball has got to be in play a minimum of 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. And that would, 1, 2, 3, 4, so far this season, 6 games have been 60 or more.
That all? Out of 50?
Yeah.
No. That's not enough.
It's not enough.
No. No, 60 was good. It's a good shout.
Really good news that Ronaldo is now happy to stay, or reported to be happy to stay, at Manchester United. Honestly.
Let me check my watch. Ah, transfer window's over.
Honestly.
Transfer window's over. He's not your favourite, is he?
I said at the time, I said it was a romantic signing, although when he speaks, he generally will start a sentence by saying it's all about the team, and then very quickly say, I'm looking for a double this year, golden boot and player of the year, you know. It's all about him, Andy, and I think he blew the dressing room up. And the way he's behaved over the last 6 weeks, I think, has been a disgrace. And the only reason he's happy to stay is because nobody else wants him. Mm. That's the bottom line. Still too many tight offside calls.
It's been that.
Damari Gray at Leeds, Saka at Liverpool.
Oh, yeah,
I thought that the
Isak
start of,
at Liverpool.
Isak, sorry. Yeah. I thought at the start of last year, they said, if they're too close to call, we're not going to put lines on.
No,
well,
those two. I'll tell you what the two were. They're exactly, in my opinion, they were exactly reminiscent of Rashford's goal against Liverpool when he was borderline. Oh, actually, they said he was off, didn't they?
They actually said he was off, but it was too close.
Too close to call. Well, I think when Damari Gray should certainly have been given.
Isak, especially when you take the line from his sleeve.
I think that's a load of bollocks, I have to say.
Well, it is because you're supposed to take it from a part of the body with which you can score. Yeah. Well, that's not the case.
Ridiculous. Many goals you've seen scored from your sleeve.
Not many,
no,
if any.
No, I can see. I can tell you none.
Current fuel crisis in the UK could lead to early kickoffs for football clubs in the EFL. Now, I remember a period of time.
Yeah. When 70s.
Yes. No. I went to watch Coventry play Sheffield Wednesday on a Wednesday afternoon.
You were out of school early then.
Yeah, I was. Yeah. I was. But listen, if that's the answer to the problem, then...
Well, I think you have to.
So be it.
But then how does that affect crowds? All right. If it's a midweek game, obviously it's going to affect them. If it's a midweek, if it's a weekend, it doesn't.
I'm tempted to say at the level we're discussing...
It won't affect
them. No. No.
I thought you might.
Now, here's an article that leapt out at me, and I want to get your thoughts on it. Playing against your old club gives footballers a kick.
Yeah.
Greg Wilford in the Times opens by saying, they say there's no loyalty left in football. Now research suggests that players try harder and perform more aggressively when facing their former clubs. The phenomenon, long suspected by fans, has been confirmed by scientists studying six major European leagues, who put it down to a little bit more motivation rather than inside knowledge. Now, I wouldn't have needed to conduct a survey.
Talk about speaking the bloody obvious.
I mean, across six major leagues to come up with that.
What they should have done, same self, you, Bob, picked up a phone and called me and said, how did you feel against all your old clubs? I wanted to kick their ass, that's what I wanted to do. Yes, and play better and score.
And celebrate?
Absolutely. Oh, just look at my goal for Wolves against Villa. That may give you... and my goal for Everton against Wolves. Sorry. Well, I couldn't help it. That was it.
I would rather see a player score and enjoy that moment because your wages are now being paid by the new club,
and your fans
and the supporters expect
to
see you celebrate a goal. Yeah, I hate it when I see a player stick a ball in the net and then turn away and go, no, I can't celebrate. Yes, you can.
Yes, you can. Yeah, yes, exactly.
you can.
Just anyway, I'm glad they've come up with that, the scientists. I'm pleased for that.
Yeah, well, very, very in-depth. This is also another one which I found fascinating, and I think that you'll probably agree. A very good piece from Jonathan Northcroft. In who's Jonathan Wright for these days? Times, I believe. Talking about assists.
Yeah.
Yeah, Sunday Times.
Yeah.
Hector Henrique, who's he?
No idea.
You've no idea?
He's the top assists maker in the European League.
You're on the right line. Not European leagues, no. But you're on the right lines.
In world football.
He lays claim to...
The best coach.
No, the most famous assist of all time.
Of all time?
Mm-hmm.
All time?
All time.
So, Henry Enrique, right? Spanish?
Yeah. Famous. Yeah, well, yes-ish.
Argentinian?
Yes.
Maradona?
Yes.
England? Halfway
yes.
line?
Yes.
He's not claiming an assist there.
By modern day standards,
yes.
He would get an assist for having given Maradona the ball inside his own half before Maradona went on to score. With a pass like that, Enrique likes to say, he could hardly miss. He could hardly miss.
So I'm thinking back then, does that mean that the Manchester United player who rolled the ball to David Beckham at Palace at Selhurst Park,
yes.
when David scored from his own half,
yep.
would it get credited with an assist?
Yes. According to this article, you see, it's entitled, Are We Fixated on Assists? And we have become so,
yes.
I think.
Yes.
And I in some cases, probably,
yeah.
it's no bad thing. But what Jonathan says here is that he was reading the letters page in the Times. A chap called Ali Kelman from Fetcham in Surrey took exception to one of Molly Hudson's assists during the Euros recently. He said, can you stop your correspondents claiming that passing the football somehow is an assist? This is nonsense. Beth Mead does not have four assists. All that happened was that she passed the ball to a teammate who scored. Passing the ball doesn't enable or aid a player to beat a goalkeeper. An assist is when you help your gran carry her shopping.
I mean, that's a bit extreme.
Well, it is a bit extreme, but I get the point. I mean, he offers up here, Jonathan, the example of Fabregas, who in one season at Arsenal had 17, the following year 6, and he got battered because he hadn't assisted in 17 goals. His general form was probably as good as, but he just hadn't been the man.
He hadn't produced the final pass.
Correct.
He could have had the assist to the assist.
Yes.
Many, many times.
Yes.
And that might just have been as important.
Jonathan says he went on line to find the 50 greatest assists for Zidane, for instance. as he says here, have fun. I mean, Zidane didn't necessarily need assists, did he?
No, I'm thinking
he assisted himself.
Yeah, there's one for you from last year or a couple of years ago. Remember Heung-Min Son at Tottenham when they were playing at the new stadium and somebody rolled the ball to him in his own half and he did the same. He ran through the defence, slotted it in.
So the assist would have been the ball. You see, definitions from Opta, the game's best known data provider, regards an assist as the final touch. Pass comes shot, or any other touch. So therefore, this leads to a recipient scoring a goal. It seems a little bit generous, argues Jonathan, but it includes this. For example, a shot saved by the goalkeeper.
Assist for the goalie.
Is an assist.
For the goalie?
Yeah, from the keeper, yeah, where someone scores from the rebound. Winning a penalty that gets converted is an assist.
Yeah, so that means if I was stood in the penalty area and one of my teammates had a shot and it hit me in the bum and bounced to the centre forward and smashed it in, it would be an assist?
Yes.
Well, that's nonsense.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you've got no idea where the ball's going.
Same with XG, he goes on to talk about. He said it's a way of saying, XG is a way of saying we had better chances than you, but because it has a sciencey name and the Americans came up with it, it's perceived as a little bit pretentious, XG.
Well, exactly. He's right, though. That's what it is. I sit there every day and we have XG. We have arguments with some of our colleagues about it.
Brian O'Donnell.
Yeah, Brian O'Donnell.
Matchday producer,
loves
Saturdays.
Loves XG.
Yeah, he does.
He's obsessed with XG.
Yeah.
And XG saves.
Yes.
And XG assists.
Mm.
Everything. XG.
I think we have to accept that the world has changed and that data is a necessity. I was reading an article. I'm not going to spend time discussing it now.
If I'm watching Manchester City against Bournemouth, for instance, I've got a funny feeling that Manchester City are going to score in Bournemouth or not. I mean, I don't need XG to tell me that. No, you understand what we're saying.
I do.
And I tell you the other one that does my head in modern day stat, right?
Yeah.
Win probability when it pops up halfway through a game and three quarters of the way through a game.
Nonsense.
It's a total nonsense. So they start off, who's the favourites? Right, they're the favourites, they're at home. Okay, so they have 60%, blah, blah, blah. The other team score, they're only 40% chance of winning.
I wonder what the win probability was at Anfield when Liverpool took that corner the other night in the third half.
Oh, well, the draw would have been massively favourite, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Of course it would.
So win probability would have been wildly wrong, wouldn't it?
That's another, I just don't get that win.
In fairness. So
I could tell you when a team goes one up, they've got a better chance of winning than a team that goes one down. I didn't need win probability to tell me that.
The reason I mentioned XG was, and stats, is that Jesse Marsh is a new age coach.
Oh, totally. I get that.
But in fairness, the article I was just looking for here and can't find, here we are, The Rise and Rise of the Graduate Manager, Jonathan Northcroft, again. He talks about Marsh wanting his stats to tell him something that perhaps his eyes haven't seen. Now, that falls into what you've been saying
don't
for a long
that.
Time on yep. that, doesn't it?
Yep. I think your eyes are the best gauge, but you do need stats to just in case you don't see everything. I get that. And I've always thought stats are there for guidance, not an obsession, that you have to be driven by them. I've always thought that. Like your best judge, your best gauge for any football coach is what he sees.
HMLD?
HMLD. Go on, run it past me.
High metabolic load distance.
That's it.
Which his scientists keep an eye on as they monitor in real time the players for HMLD.
All right. What's the consequences of
Well, no, Marsh's objective is to capture the lightning of a player going flat out and thereby trying to create power football suited to high-speed counter-pressing.
Okay. There we go, next. You lost me at hello.
Well, I suppose what's happened is that not a great deal has changed, really.
No.
Except you've now got the science
to
prove what you thought when you're a coach watching from the touchline.
And a lot of graduates.
Yeah, and that is a... Yes, Marsh is steeped in the value of a broad education with stats. His mentor was Bob Bradley, the former Swansea City coach, who also studied history at Princeton University in the States. His other big influences are, go on, worked in football in England recently, Ralph Ranick,
okay,
and the late Gerard Houllier.
Oh, Gerard, I get. Top man, love Gerard. But Ralph's not exactly covered himself in glory here, and neither did Bob Bradley.
Yeah, but did we judge Ranick a little too harshly, bearing in mind what we discovered about the group, to use a modern word, he was actually working with. Rotten would be my word.
Probably, and particularly because he knew he wasn't there for long. He was there for a season, and that was it, unless he did something extraordinary, which he didn't. And so he was always on a shaky peg.
Yeah, but they didn't.
And
fancy,
the players
did
knew
they?
That. No, the players knew that, and they didn't. But that's the trouble, Richard. A coach like that, they've got one like that now, in Ten Hag, who's very much of that ilk.
Yeah,
very methodical.
That was always my problem. This is why I hope that Steven Gerrard finds his way out of trouble at Villa, and I genuinely do. Mm-hmm. I hope that Frank Lampard has a good season.
You know,
you're reading
my mind. I was just about to say exactly to you.
Because
it's important these guys are successful.
Yes, they don't. You see, in the case of both of them, Wayne Rooney.
Yeah.
These guys don't have to continue to work
in
football. John Terry. They'll be comfortable for the rest of their lives. But I think if we're losing top end talent like that, players that have had a career and understand the difference between football and statistics that are built around the game, mm-hmm. I think we are in trouble. We need top-end footballers to continue to work in the game. I've always said I was really, really disappointed in Carragher. I thought he was a student of the game, and I actually thought he would... Gary Neville.
Have a go.
I thought they would have a go.
Well, Gary did, didn't he?
Yes. No, yeah, didn't maybe, work out very well,
scabbed.
Did it?
Maybe he got scabbed.
Yeah, mate, you know, you can, as we know, you can choose the wrong one very easily, and that was Valencia was the wrong one for Gary. I don't know what he was thinking. Really?
No.
So we need these guys to continue to work in the game.
I agree with you.
Otherwise, we give up everything that we know to school teachers, and that's...
No, that's not great. And I'm just off the top of my head, I'm thinking of the top of the league. It's good to see Guardiola, an ex-player himself, of some repute there and coaching away. How good was Klopp? He was...
Shite. Yeah, but not very well. He was a bit like...
He wasn't top end.
He was a bit like Fergie.
He wasn't top end.
No, he wasn't, no.
Arteta was. Good to see him.
Yeah.
You know, Mikel Arteta, that's good. Conte was. You know, so we have got, at the moment, quite an array of top players who are actually in the game, influencing the game at the top level. And that, for me, is good. I'm not saying there's no place for someone who's at if that had been the case, then there's a lot of great coaches would never have been coaches.
Yeah.
If the barometer was you have to have played top level, you don't. We're not saying every coach has to have played top level football. What we're saying is it's nice that the top coaches, some of them who don't need to work, as you say, but love the game that much that they want to get involved in it coaching-wise. I like to see that. I was so pleased when Steven, John Terry, Frank Lampard and the likes, Mikel Arteta got into the game.
It's a subject, actually, we might be able to continue to discuss with our guest today.
Oh, of course we will.
Let's introduce...
Was he a top-level player?
Well,
come on. Of course he was.
Well...
Played in an FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, he did, yeah. No, the answer is no. He was a... He had a career.
He did have a career.
Our guest is the former Burnley manager, who's now in a period of rest.
Rest.
Sean Dyche. Mr. Dyche, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. Very well.
Let me get you up to speed. We were just having a conversation prior to you joining us about... I was making the point, Sean, that I have concerns about the number of former players that perhaps don't continue when they hang their boots up these days, which is why it's important young men that choose to do so are given a little bit of time. Mm-hmm. The reason I mention the subject, first of all, I'd like your thoughts on it, but Andy put to me a very good question prior to your picking the phone up, which is, we were talking about top-end careers, and he said to me, did Dyche have a top-end career?
And Dyche, do you know what he said? No. I remember you strutting through a semi-final, FA Cup semi-final at Old Trafford, Dyche.
Yeah, thanks.
Imperious performance,
mate. I know, he's trying to knock me down. He's trying to knock me down. There's no need to do that. You know, it was a top career. Very...
Yes.
Well, most people, you must have missed it, mate. You must have been other than on the radio or something back then.
I think I did.
I'd like a mixture of Baresi and Glenn Hoddle, mate. Somewhere about that. It's a loss to top-level football.
You may say that in jest, big man, but you're right.
I think I would say perhaps, looking back on the youth that I enjoyed, Sean, and the players I watched, I would say a combination of between Morris Setters and Roy Barry. That would be...
All right.
Okay, thanks.
More Hanson and Lawrenson for me, Daishi.
Seriously, let's have it right. You said to me, come on, we'll pick you back up, we'll brush you down, we'll shine you up, we'll polish you up. It's not a great start, lad.
No, but the general point, to be serious, that we continue... How do we keep players involved?
Yeah.
A different version of what Bobby Robson once said to me, Sean. He said, in an era when players started to earn a lot of money, how do you make a millionaire sweat, he said to me. And the same thing applies now, really, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think the truth of the moment is, well, you all know, right? So players of a certain level, and that's not just the Premier League, because although the Championship's having its challenges now, very, very short time ago, probably two seasons ago, players were still earning big, big money in the Championship. You know, having Championship careers, which I had half my career in the Championship, they were earning big, big money. So that shouldn't affect your drive and your belief. But of course, we all know it kind of does. So if they're coming out of careers, the will to get educated, because nowadays you'll all know you do need that education, you have to have your licences, the will to do that, the effort to do that. Although the PFA have done a marvellous job, they do fast track with, rightly so, you know, with the years of service of certain players. I think that's fair. They must have a bigger handle on the game than players who haven't played, in my belief.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they just get given that, by the way, but I believe they should be fast tracked. And then, you know, how many want to really get in the nuts and bolts of it? I mean, to give you an example, I mean, I actually took to it. I really wanted to do it, and I loved it. But to give you an example, when I went in at Watford, thankfully, Andy Boothroyd gave me a chance with under-18 there. You know, I'm going across London, driving the minibus, picking the lads up, doing their education, I'm doing their session. I remember, a little anecdote, I remember Brendan Rodgers once came in when he was manager, and he said, Sean, you know, I want to meet him with you. I said, yeah, cool. And he does these amazing diagrams of training, which Mourinho had done, and he sort of learned from him. So he said, Sean, I want this. And he couldn't get it because he'd been at Chelsea before. And I said, Gaffer, I get up, I drive the wrong side of, because I was living in Northampton, I drive to the wrong side of Watford to get a minibus to pick the kids up, and then drive back, and then I make sure they're doing the jobs, they get their breakfast, then I have to do their education, then I have to go out and coach them. Then I come in at lunchtime. Then I take them for a second coaching session. Then I have to make sure the job's done. Then I have to make sure that, because they were still doing sort of jobs then. Then I have to make sure the second part of the education's done. Debrief the game. Go on to Airfield School in the evening. Go to the first thing game. And make sure they're doing the jobs after the first thing game. And then drive home. So I said, I haven't got like 50 minutes to fill out a session plan and do it with detail. And he looked at me like gone out, and I was like, why haven't you got people doing that? And I went, well, I don't know. I actually loved it. I loved that, that bit of earthiness, that bit of, you know, like I call it earning your spurs. It was like going back to being an apprentice being an apprentice. Yeah. It was like being an apprentice coach. So I learned a lot from that period. But your point is, or I think what you suggest, or certainly I'm suggesting, if you've got a couple of quid in your locker and you've been living an amazing life, you think, how many think, yeah, I'll do that?
No, not many.
So few, how many few do that? You know, some are, yeah. Yes.
Not
and
many.
And by the way, we're talking, that's a good Championship club at the time, renowned for their youth. Now, if you've got to go in at maybe lower than that, you haven't got the facilities, you're working hard, you're doing odds and sods, you're doing extra coaching sessions. I think it's got to be within you. I think you've got to really want to do it. You know, you've got to have the drive to really want to do it. Learn the ropes, earn your spurs, and unless you get a lucky one where you're going at real big level straight away, just do the hard yards, as Eddie Jones called it. You know, put the miles on the clock and go and earn the right. But how many want to do that if you made a nice bit of money, you've got a couple of properties or whatever, and you can see your kids and you've worked hard? I mean, it's a tough call.
Yeah, I mean, what as well, Sean? I mean, do you think it's important as well as getting guys down that route and encourage them to come in at whatever level? Is it also important for the game as a whole, or does it not matter, that people like, let's say, Steven Gerrard, John Terry, Frank Lampard, Wayne Rooney, can shortly after a career come in at a high level and influence the game and work in the game? Is that important, or is it not bother you?
No, I think the idea of a few years ago, do you remember it's a number of years ago now, do you remember there was quite a big debate about this fast-tracking idea?
Yes.
I think if you do that and you give players a platform to go through the system a little bit quicker, rightly or wrongly, the fact is footballers have a busy time, but way busier than people think, as you know, and their lives are way busier, and the summer comes, and do you want to go on a two-week coaching course when you've only got a small window and you're playing for the country and all that? Very difficult. So I do agree with it should be fast-tracked. Keep them in the game in what form? Because the other part of this, as we know, so I played outside of the Premier League and a bit of a journeyman, you know, joking about, I was a bit of a journeyman player. I had done the hard yards. You know, I've done 7 years at Chesterfield now. So I'm like a little bit aggrieved. And I'm going, what? So someone who couldn't really quite be bothered in some cases gets flown into a situation where they're at the top of the tree, although they've got amazing experience in one way playing, they haven't done the hard yards. You go, well, so doing this, and why some coaches get frustrated. But what we have seen open up, of course, is coaches who haven't had a top level career, and some not even a big career, like your Mourinho's and people like that. Gerard Houllier's back in the day, rest his soul. You know, these are people who have had amazing coaching careers. So I think they do need putting out there. I think there are some players who naturally gravitate towards it, and there's some who don't. You know, some who go, not quite for me, or they dip their toe in it and then go, no, it's not for me.
Yeah.
It all becomes too much work. And as you mentioned to Bobby Robson with the idea of how do you make them sweat? You know, the only, it's not literal, as you know, but how do you make them put in the hard yards, the miles on the clock, get the job done? Some are natural, we all know some are naturally bound that way in any walk of life, and some are not.
How are you in general, and are you getting bored?
I'm not yet, because people forget that it's not just the football job. I was on the road for years. I mean, I was living in, well, the family base was in Northampton. They moved about a year ago to Nottingham, but the family base is in Northampton. So your downtime is not really downtime, because you're sitting on the M6, the M1 for hours and hours and hours at a time. So I'm not missing the idea of what it is yet, but you know yourself, the bug never leaves you.
Nope.
It will come back strong at some point. You know, I'm okay at the minute. I'm filling in the stuff that I couldn't do, the stuff that I promised people. I'm going to give you an example. I met someone on a golf course by chance. I played in a charity game. So I said to him, right, we'll definitely do that next year. And I bumped into him. It was someone, because he's a great guy. It's Chris Akabusi.
All right.
I played on a charity golf day with him, and I bumped into him. Literally, the week I got the sack, by random chance, someone invited me for a game of golf. I only had 9 holes down at Woburn. Anyway, he goes to me, we'll get that game of golf. And I said, yeah, we said that 2 years ago. And he said, Sean, that was 8 years ago. And now you just go,
time
flies,
Sean, when you're enjoying yourself.
That's the point. That's the point, lads. I was like, wow, I've got to get my head out of the sand here, because I've been putting stuff off for years, you know, and friends and stuff. I mean, some just friends, you know, not, I don't mean famous people. I mean, just friends and people I grew up with, and we'll do that, we'll do this, we'll do that. And you never do it.
No. Do you think it's all-consuming, Sean? I mean, it is all-consuming, a football manager, isn't it?
Do you think, Sean, you should have done it sooner? That you were on the treadmill and just literally found that you couldn't step off. But now look back, think perhaps you should have done.
I understand why people do. I understand that. I think it was Pep, wasn't it, a few years ago, went off to America for a year.
Yeah.
But right, you're Pep Guardiola, you can pick and choose. You can't when you're me, and you can't when you're lots of managers.
No,
they
fair.
Choose
that's
you. Fair. You don't choose them. Pep could literally bring any club in the world and say, look, I'm ready when you are. And they're probably going to go, okay, we'll have you.
Mm.
That ain't going to happen for me, lads. And that ain't going to happen for the majority of managers out there. So I think in Nirvana, yes, you would. You go, do you know what? I think I think Gordon Strachan did do it, didn't he? When he was hot and he was going well, do you remember?
Yeah.
I think he had a year downtime. But he came back and it didn't quite work as well, I don't think. I think I'm right. So I don't know. I think it's a fine line, that. So in a Nirvana world, yes, you would. You'd have a year or whatever off and spend a year with your kids and do whatever you need to do. But it just doesn't. Football generally doesn't work like, which you both know.
Are you concerned at all, or do you think at all that there's a case that sometimes we always look at coaches, and certainly there's been a few keys and I have been involved with down the years, where you think they just stayed out the game a little too long. They sat and waited and waited and waited, and then by the time they were ready, the game wasn't ready for them again. Are you worried about that?
I'm not worried at this stage.
No.
But I know what you mean. I mean, the obvious one more recently, who waited for the chance and probably got to a point when he was wondering, was Eddie Howe.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of Eddie, and he sat there. I mean, I know he had it. He also had a family thing as well, because he'd gone north. He'd found that difficult. and he'd gone back south, and, you know, beautiful part of the world where he lives and all that. So I do get that, and maybe there was jobs that he thought, I can't quite do that. But he's gone for a big stretch up to Newcastle, because it's a big club, obviously, and he's took that chance. I mean, you know, maybe at the right time, big backing and all that sort of stuff. But the fact is, I think it was nearly 18 months, or around 18 months. So, you know, how long is it? When's the right club? When's the right chance? It's not that easy. And as you know, as I said, lads, it's, if someone comes for you in this industry, as you know, it's unlikely that you go to someone and say, right, I'm ready. They actually come to you and say, you know, will you come and interview, sort of thing. So I don't think it's that easy. But at the minute, it's pretty fresh. It's pretty early. A couple of things have come up. I've gone, nah, you know, I'm all right at the minute. I won't wait and see what's out there. You know what I mean?
Have you become a better coach since you quit?
Because I never get anything wrong now.
Do you know what I'm saying, though, Sean? It's amazing what you can learn.
I've developed every player.
It's amazing what you can learn when you step back from the game and you actually look at it differently.
Yeah, I think, excuse me, I think the idea of reflecting on it, the idea of looking at it, the idea, I mean, so far I've just been catching up with my life, but I think I've got, I'm going to take my lad, my mates I grew up with. We have a little group called Indian Night. We have a few beers, tell all the old stories. I'm taking them away for a few days. And once that's in September, once that's done, I know in my heart, my mind, it's time to start tuning in. I mean, properly tune in again. So far, I've been casually tuning in, you know, casual games. I've popped down to Nottingham Forest because the family base is Nottingham. I'll pop down there. I'll go to some more local games. I mean, another rule of thumb, lads, just to give you an insight, when I was at Watford after game 13, I'm just about getting booed off, and there was 11 managers. There was 11 managers out of work at the end of that game. I remember thinking, I will never do that.
No.
Never.
I was just going to say, when you said, I'll go watch some games, I was going to say, well, you'll be down at Villa Park, Goodison, Molineux, Leicester. Never,
do you know what? So my rule of thumb, because of that reason, was at the time, I'll give you a quick insight. At the time, I was living in Northampton. But my rule of thumb, I knew the people at MK, so I went down to MK. I knew John Rudkin at Leicester, so I went to Leicester. I'll go to Northampton just because it was local. And I'm more or less stuck around them three clubs. And what I'm going to do here is the same rule of thumb. I still know John Rudkin. I know Brendan at Leicester, joking apart. I know they've had a tough start, but I know them guys. So that's local to me. Nottingham Forest is local to me. If I want to dip my toe in it, because of the history of Notts County and stuff like that, my mate Michael Duff is at Barnsley, so, you know, to pop up and see him, he asked me to come and watch the team, stuff like that. But I'm not going to start popping up all over the country at anyone who's under pressure. That's not my bag.
No.
Can I ask you, Sean, I tell you what, I'm interested in your opinion on Daishe. Have over the years, and when you were working particularly, did British managers often get a raw deal with the perception of a British coach as opposed to the all-knowing foreigner?
Well, I think that's a tough call. I mean, I think there's that many foreign managers over in here now in the top league and in other leagues here. I think it's just become a bit more normalised and a bit more of a group thing. Whereas I think certainly 10 years ago, there seemed to be this idea that any foreign manager who had managed, or this was the perception, by the way, not the fact. Yeah. I got the feeling that the media view was anyone who'd managed in more or less any division other than England was suddenly like some kind of guru of football or some kind of... Yeah. Well, the one that used to come out the most, which we used to laugh at, was, you know, you see interviewing like outside of stadiums, and the fans that go, yeah, great tactician. And we used to wear ourselves, aren't we? Like, right, okay, yeah, of course they are. You know, like, just as if by magic, they're a great tactician because they worked in, you know, the bottom half of La Liga or something. You go, right, yeah, of course, great tactician, yeah. So we love that one. But joking apart, I just think that the game's worldwide. You know, I'm not preaching to you, lads, but the game's worldwide now, right? And it's open house. It's open house. If you're good, you're good. If you're not good enough, you're not good enough. You have to earn your spurs. So I'm all right about it. There's a time when I thought, oh, hang on a minute, there's some really good English coaches doing a great job, and there still is in my belief. I mean, you know, Brendan nearly won the league with Liverpool. And we here's one for you. We probably needed at that time, and still need, a British manager to do something massive where maybe that last bit of perception changes back in where they go, hang on a minute, all managers at that level are good.
Yeah.
You know, not just because they've been at foreign shores, all of them are good. And if we get one to win something, I mean, I know Brendan won the FA Cup and all that, but you know what I mean? If you can win the league or you get in the Champions League, get right through and all that sort of stuff and do all that business, I think it would just be the last bit where people go, hang on a minute, let's forget about English foreign or British foreign. It's not the point. The point is, are you good?
Yeah,
if you're really good, you're probably going to get a chance. That's the way that we'd all like it.
I've always said, Sean, I'm still waiting for somebody to show me the foreign coach's football manual, which must be very well hidden and very different from the books that the British coach uses. It just doesn't exist,
You know, sometimes it gets frustrating. I mean, not so much now, but probably, like I say, 5, 6, 7 years ago, it gets frustrating. I mean, the big ones now that we, another thing, we'd sit in the office and we got the sport news on, and we'd just laugh because you get that, and then you get, you know, this thing. And I know, look, you guys in the media, I know you've got to grip something and you sort of run with it and explore it. But, you know, when you get, they're doing this amazing analytics, and they put what they're doing on them. We go, yeah, we've all been doing that for 10 years. You know, like, it's just like this new,
exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, well, I always say, is it, you know, skinny jeans, like flat jeans, skinny jeans, loose jeans, skinny jeans, loose jeans, skinny jeans, loose jeans. It's like, jeans are still jeans, right? Jeans are still jeans. You know?
You're talking our language, Sean, you know, I have to say.
Well, you know, you just get a bit like that, but I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's only an opinion. It doesn't make it the right opinion. I think you just go, look, we're all out there, right? We're all working hard. I mean, analytics are a big one now. You know, they do these analytics. I mean, do you remember, I must say, I think he's a really good operator, but do you remember the thing with Marco Bielsa, and they were saying, like, Marcelo Bielsa, sorry, they were saying, like, oh, it's amazing and all that, and we were all going, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Like everyone's been doing that for years.
Yes,
people have been watching game after game after game. They've been analysing. I didn't quite sneak into a training ground. I must say that one to you.
You couldn't.
By the way, for everyone listening, that's a joke. You know that'll soon be like as a pop at the elbow. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just making a little dry joke for everyone listening or anyone who's going to listen.
So, yes.
But you know what I mean? There's a time and a place where you go, come on, let's have it right. All of the top clubs all the time are doing all of that stuff. Everyone's looking for the next little detail, but they're all doing it. And by the way, not just the top clubs. I know, you know, my son's at Northampton Town. He's trying to break through there. He's been subbed and stuff like that. They're trying to reflect on games. They're trying to analyse games. They're trying to look at their GPS. They're trying to look at, you know, because it filters down the system. So all it is if you're Man City, they'll have a bank of analysts. They'll have 15 analysts, you know, crunching every detail of the game. At Burnley, we might have 4 analysts, you know, crunching the details, you know what I mean? So it's just varying levels of what's going on in the game. So I think everyone's trying to do it, and I think that should be a bit more recognised. It's not just, but I get the fact it makes a story, of course.
Well, it does make a story, because Keezy just threw another one my way this morning, Sean, and I'm going to ask him to run it past you.
Yeah, I need to find it.
Go on, let's have it.
It left me a little confused. Well, he's scouring away.
You've mugged me with that now, so I've got to find it again.
You know the one.
The article actually was written by Jonathan Northcroft, Sean,
in the Sunday Times.
Yeah, Jonathan, good lad. Really, I really enjoy his stuff. Hold on here. It was actually on the subject of, here's another one here, Rory Smith, analyst who told Wenger that he got his signings wrong.
me and Rory have had a couple of little moments, actually. He's a good guy, but me and him had a couple of moments on the radio. He's on the radio with us. He tried to tell me something that I already knew, and I looked at him and went, oh, it's interesting. You tell him that.
Here's one, then, Sean.
Here you go. Here we go.
This one?
HMLD. Have you heard of HMLD? Apparently, Jesse Marsh is a big fan of this. HMLD
is... Do you know what that is? But don't tell him before. Sean? HMLD?
Yeah. Is that the, something to do with the diet?
Yeah, a high metabolic load distance. That's what that is. He likes to capture the lightning by keeping a player going flat out and thereby trying to create power football suited to high-speed counter-pressing. There you go.
Well, yeah, it's called working hard, lad. that's what it's called. It's called running hard, working hard.
Exactly.
As if by magic, I tell you what, get really fit and run really hard, and when you can, run really fast. I mean, come on.
I know. Wait, Sean, you speak from my heart. Yes.
Sean.
No, the thing is, we, yet again, all that stuff, right? We had people, Mark Howdo, I think, is a top operator at Burnley.
Yeah.
He was crunching the life out of things. We had all sorts of things. We had a laser system that we've been working with the company for 3 years to try and help them fine-tune it. You know, we had all sorts of stuff. And of course, we are looking at, you know, the Sir Dave Brailsford, you know, legend that he is in many ways, crunching. We're all crunching the tiny details to see if we can get more. So, you know, I'm not trying to be simplistic about it, but sometimes, you know, you give players so much, yes, right, mm, that they start going, oh, yeah, but I didn't get my HMLD stats. And you go, did you run hard? Did you work hard? Did you feel it in your body that you ran really hard? Because I tell you what, if you get that bit right, your HMLD stats will be through the roof. Yeah. Trust me. Because you know. Players have got to be careful. We talked about this because we've had a long time in the Premier League. We talked about this endlessly about what are we giving the players and what are they coming back to. So to give you a quick insight, we got to a point like we had the live screen and training. The players would walk over, and I heard a few of them, and I hate this stuff, going, I've hit my numbers today. So I went, right, get the screen, throw it in the river. I said, you don't sit like that. I said, there's no use today. And now joking, of course. But so we moved the screen about 100 yards away so they couldn't get to it, because they started going, I know I've hit my numbers today. You go, whoa. There's no just hitting your numbers. That ain't going to make us better. We're going beyond the numbers.
Yeah.
They're just there for a reference point.
Correct.
So it's like I say, it's such a fight. We found this, right? We found taking some of this away was more powerful.
Yeah, I get that.
Take it away.
I get that.
Get it back to the simple basics and then help them by guiding them. Right, why do you need a daily thing? So we started going, right, every week we'll give you a rundown of where you're at. Because the daily thing started going, I've hit my numbers. You're almost giving them a knowledge that is too powerful for them to use because they don't understand the depth of that one moment or that one key thing. So we found that was really important, taking stuff away and giving them back the stuff that is really, really important, the stuff that is actually going to make a difference rather than every single, you know, every single detail. Yeah. But it's a fine line. It's a fine line because players do want all this stuff.
Yeah.
They want it. They hear stories at other clubs and they go, oh, yeah, but at other clubs they tell them, you know, I don't know, they get them tuna flown in from, you know, wherever. You know, they're like, yeah, okay, that's great. We'll try and do that for you. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, we can't wait to do that.
We sat here, Sean, with Harry Winks, and it is a subject of frustration for Andy and myself. Passing sideways and backwards. Few understand that the ball has to go forward. So Andy said to Harry, he said, this drives me mad. And Harry went, well, yeah, he said, but he'll be thinking about his pass completion stats. I said, what?
And I said, what? He said, yeah. He said, you know, they pull me in on a Monday morning, Andy, and they'll sit there with the data and they'll say to me, oh, Harry, you had the possession of the ball 56 times, but you only completed 30 passes. He said, so now I'm on the pitch and I'm thinking when it comes to me, he's not thinking, where can I try and feed this ball through where we might get a chance? He's thinking, I'll pass to one of my players safely, and then my pass completion stats are good on Monday morning. I was staggered, Sean.
Yeah, but that's where the obsession of the game has changed and the perception against the fact. And look, you know all this. I mean, I'll give you an example. I'm sure he won't mind me using it. We had Ashley Westwood, right? Ashley Westwood, we got him out of Villa. He was having a real bad time. The fans had turned on everything. Yeah. We got him out of there for a song. It was like $3.5 million. And I said, Westy, you've lost the ability to make a mistake. And he said, what do you mean? I said, you've turned into that player who just wants to keep playing sideways and backwards, and therefore you sort of never do anything wrong. I said, I want you to start doing it wrong. Mm. And he said, what do you mean? I said, I want you to start going for that path.
Yeah.
I said, because I've seen you strike as good a ball as anyone. You can find that path. And he started changing. Now, by the way, I must make this clear. This is not guru stuff. This is common sense stuff. I'm looking at him going, your pass map tells me you are mainly passing sideways and backwards. That is no use to a team that wants to win a game in the Premier League.
No.
So we've got to get you back to putting the ball at risk. And the only way of getting you back to that is find the confidence to start putting the ball at risk. And his stats started changing. We got him on set pieces. We got him on deliveries. You know the one, Andy, when it comes into midfield and you clip it round the corner?
Correct.
We got him doing that. Brilliant. So forward would see it.
You hardly ever see that ball.
Oh, it is. I'm telling you, even in the Premier League, I'm giving you secrets now, lads. See, I'm giving you my genius.
Yeah, you've forgotten you're talking to us. And this is being recorded,
Hey, Andy, kick it in behind with quality.
Yes.
It's like a mysterious thing, that, isn't it?
I know.
And we got Westy. I mean, that's a simplistic point, but you know what I mean? We got him putting the ball at risk. And the more he put it at risk, guess what? The more he looked like a player.
Yeah.
You know? And people started going, amazing. Oh, actually, Westwood, his stats are he's doing this, he's doing that. And we're like, yeah, no surprise, because he started putting it forward and actually putting the ball at risk and not worrying whether his stats were massive or not.
No,
so I think that, yet again, that the lines of the rights and wrongs, at the end of the day, Andy, one thing you'd know clearly, the best players make the best decisions.
Absolutely.
Not about long or short, they make the best decisions. Yeah, the best players make the best decisions. And that's what you're trying
to do. Also, Sean, you touched on it, Sean, though, as well, though. The best players are not frightened to make a mistake. That also is a massive key.
Yeah.
They're not scared if the pass doesn't work once or twice or three times. They'll try it a fourth or a fifth because they know that it will work.
Yeah, spot on.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I had that. I remember used to think that about Beckham when he was young. He'd whip that cross in. If it hit the front man, he'd whip another one. It went on the stand, he'd hit, and then the fourth one, bang, there you go, goal, on the money.
Yeah.
He seemed to have that moral courage with the ball, that inner bravery to keep with his belief in putting it in there. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Again, you know, stats and that, this is where, like I say, you've got to be careful what you're giving them and what you're taking away, you know. And I think we've got to be careful that we might actually discourage very good young players because they're only allowed to pass the ball 10 yards in theory.
Yeah,
not literally, but, you know, so how do they learn how to put the ball at risk then if they're not putting the ball at risk?
Yeah, you see, Andy's about to go off on another one, but I'm going to stop it. Production line players out of academies, he's always talking about, Sean, and it is true. We're all trying to produce the same kind of player. Assembly line players.
Assembly line footballers, I worry about, Sean. Same ones coming out of the academy, all the same. Drilled the same way, coached the same way.
I did something the other day, and I was telling someone the story of Kieran Trippier, who's my favourite. I don't like to mention it, but he is. he can pass the ball any distance on a football pitch. Yeah, so can. I would actually, as a manager, be doing him a disservice by saying, I only want you to play it into midfield 10 yards. That's a disservice to a player. That is taking away his skill set.
Yeah.
So I just thought, work with players and give them the chance to operate with their skill set. Yeah. Not mine, not my brand, if you like. Not me going, look, we're going to play the right way and all that. Just give them the chance to have the best career they possibly can by using their skill set and then forming it into a team that will affect each other, in theory. So, but that's a good example of it, in my opinion. You know, Kieran Trippier, I'm telling you, he can land that ball with his right foot anywhere on the football pitch. So I would just be doing a complete disservice saying I just want you to play it to the centre half, play it to midfield, or play it to your wide man short.
Sean, I have to say, far too much common sense. It's been an absolute pleasure. I could talk all morning. I know you've got other things to do and can't, but honestly, really enjoyable.
Well, listen, the game's missing you, son,
don't sit on your big backside too long.
Well, he's lost a bit of weight, that boy.
You know, lads, they try about common sense. You know what they say about common sense? It's not very common.
That's also true. Yeah. November, December, give yourself a window. That's the key. Until then, enjoy it.
Good speech. Stay well.
Thanks, big man. We'll see you out here before you get back involved. Thanks, Sean.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, lad.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Brilliant.
That was good. Very good.
Sensational.
All okay, yeah?
Oh, sensational.
Loved it, Sean. Thank you.
Sensational. Thank you. Absolutely.
No, I mean, lads, it's really difficult, that one about the brand of football. Now, it is getting really difficult. I mean, it is getting borderline on madness. Because I'll tell you, another one, maybe we should brought this up, and I wouldn't name names. I know some young coaches who are now literally telling me, yeah, but Daichi, we're looking at the job beyond the job. So now we're playing a way that whether we win or lose, other clubs at bigger level will recognise it. And
you
I'm going,
that's absolutely
you're
right.
You're actually telling me you want to not worry about winning, because you think you're going to get a job from player. Yeah. And I'm going, I'm telling you now, get that out your head. Win some games.
I can see that, because they think, he plays the game the right way. Yeah, so
what is the right way? I want to know.
I said this about Brendan, well, Andy, Brendan, Sean. I mean, great lad. But Leicester and he probably should have parted company, but when they do, he'll get another big job, I think, because he plays the right way.
Yes, he does.
Please, that's probably why.
Well, I'm not knocking them. All I'm saying is, I'm not knocking people like that. All I'm saying is,
no, I'm not
very
knocking
careful.
Him. But,
you're
but
a
that's,
young manager.
That's the perception that you're it gets you another job. Yeah.
The borderline mad thing is, it kind of is getting people at least a chance for
that
job.
Sure,
you guys,
you're right,
I mean, everyone wants to be Graham Potter, and you're like, you can't all be Graham Potter. Get plucked out of. Yeah, you can, and I, by the way, I really like Graham, but you can't just pluck another Graham. Not all of you are going to be Graham Potter. No. Where you do all right at a foreign club, and you suddenly get plucked out of nowhere. not all are you going to do that.
Well, look at Frank at Everton last year. Back end of last season, he comes in. He wants them to play. Let the laws of the game change to accommodate Pep Guardiola and that daft goal kick that has to go 4 yards. But you know, Frank's trying to play football, and then all of a sudden thinks, "Fucking hell, hang on a minute, we're going down."
Yeah. So, Jason, Jordan Pickford, when you get it, Jordan, just fucking rattle it up to your centre forward, and we'll play in their half for the last half a dozen games. Hey. And lo and behold, Sean, they survive. It's not rocket science, is it?
Andy, seriously, Boney has a great saying. He says, people and managers get mixed up with the possibilities and the capabilities.
Yes,
and he's right.
He's right. 100%.
Like possibly, we can all play like Man City. But capability-wise, can we? No.
So therefore, why play it? For fuck's sake, that's half the problem.
I know, it's weird, isn't it?
The perception, you play the right way, then you can get another job. It's just madness. So it's actually an absolute treat to listen to, Sean.
But people were doing it to me a long time ago, and I was like, you know, we were at season 5 in the Premier League, and someone said to me, they said, what do you think? There's a strong suggestion that people have worked you out. I went, well, it's taken 5 years in the Premier League. I'll take 5 year windows in the Premier League, but that'll do me. If they work me out every 5 years, yeah, I'm happy with that.
That'll keep me going for 20 years.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll have 20 years in the Premier League. Yeah. Every 5 years, I can work it out, get paid off. That sounds like genius stuff to me. Sounds absolute genius.
Right. Give it 4 weeks and I'll get you out. After the international break, Sean.
All right, I'll see you then. The weather will be better for you gingers. We'll make sure the weather's better.
Hey, strawberry blonde.
All
about the
thanks,
man. Thanks, Sean. Enjoy yourself.
Cheers,
thanks, Sean. See you, buddy.
Bye,
brilliant. Brilliant.
Good lad.
Too much common sense. He is a terrific guy, and I hope he gets the right. Well, few get the right one. I hope the next one is
that he's deserving of. Yeah,
yeah,
it deserves him.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, happy anniversary, 30 years.
Oh yeah.
Meant to say to you on a program we recorded here for Be In Sports. Yeah. You said, do you think you and me will ever find acceptance in the business? I thought about that later. Do you know? I think when we started, we were fighting the establishment.
Yeah, yeah.
The established way of doing things. Satellite television was revolutionary.
Yeah.
That you had to pay for the product was many found objectionable. So we fought the establishment. You know, I think what's happened is Sky are now the establishment.
The establishment, of course they are, yeah.
So anybody connected with, in the UK, Sky, is there to be shot at going forward, but it's those that will be firing the shots, if indeed it ever changes to any great degree, that will be the bad boys again. And I think that's probably what happened to you and I. We had to go in and fight.
Yeah. Oh, we did that already.
For acceptance, survival. I used a phrase when we left about the well that we dug, and many were now drinking from it. That's even more the case. But I think after 30 years, that's probably where we are. Whether we get another 30 years, I don't know. But
that'll take me up to about 65.
Promise this much good conversation on a weekly basis going forward. But we can aim to provide it. And
exactly.
Thanks once again to Sean Dyche.
Brilliant, Sean.
You've been listening to Keys and Grey, and we look forward to spending time in your company next week.
Absolutely.